Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Amen. Many of you know what it's like to pray for healing, only to find the healing never comes. You've seen a loved one get sick, and though you cried out fervently to your God, "Lord, please grant them your healing," doesn't happen. During the prayers of the church, we commend to God those who are in need of his divine physical healing. But it seems as if their names stay on the list a long time. Cancer spreads despite your prayers. Bronchitis turns to pneumonia, which turns to death. A stroke renders one helpless. The healing just doesn't come. You have faced situations like these. Physical healing doesn't happen as fast as we wish. If it happens at all, and we find ourselves praying, "Lord, if you had been here, my loved one would not have died." Martha, Mary, they knew Lazarus was sick, and they did the right thing. They cried out to God. They sent for Jesus, knowing Jesus could heal their brother. They knew that. But when he heard the news that Lazarus was sick, he does something we don't expect. He doesn't jump up and rush to the dying man's bedside, but he waits. He waits 2 days. 2 long days. It wasn't because he was trying to discipline or chastise Mary and Martha. The text is clear to say he loved them. But he waited 2 days. Not exactly an act of love. It's not exactly what we would expect. A loving God would have jumped up and rushed in haste to the sick man's bedside and given him healing, thus giving much needed relief to a grieving family. That's what a loving God would have done. Or so we think. Jesus waits 2 days after hearing the news. But friends, there is a reason. There's a reason. Christ will say to his disciples, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." God's glory will shine through death. Why the 2 days? We must realize at this stage in Jesus' earthly ministry, the disciples don't quite have it all figured out yet. They're still calling Jesus Rabbi. Rabbi. That word means teacher. The word Rabbi and the word Lord are not synonymous words. The disciples have trouble grasping what Jesus says to them. They think Lazarus is sleeping, and if he's sleeping, he'll recover. "Why go back to Judea, Jesus? The Jews are trying to stone you. What are you thinking? If he's sleeping, he'll wake up." They don't get it until Jesus speaks to them clearly. He tells them plainly, "No, Lazarus isn't sleeping, but he is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe." And there you have it. Friends, Jesus wants people to believe in him. And he wants people to see who he is. Not just a first century guru giving us insights on how to live a successful, abundant life. Jesus wasn't just another normal prophet on the scene. No, he is the Lord of glory. As the hymn we just sang says, Christ is the life of all the living. And he gives you that life. His victory over sin and death is yours by faith. He is the founder, the perfecter of faith, the source of your existence. Christ. Christ is the very Lamb who takes away your sin. And he tells Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. You're looking at it. And this is the point of allowing Lazarus to die, to testify to the world, to tell the world, he is the Lord and giver of life. He determines when someone dies. He determines when someone lives. This is his work, to give life even at death. A mere man cannot do this, but only your Lord, your Christ, your God. Now, whenever we hear this in the pew, we smile, we nod, we confess it's true, we say amen, always okay to say during a church service. But the moment we step beyond the church doors into an unpredictable world where death strikes at any time, the promises of God can sound a little empty. The holy, precious word of God telling us everything he has done for us and continues to do through the person and work of Jesus becomes hard to believe when the conscience is troubled, when the burden of our sin weighs heavy on our hearts. Clinging to your Savior by faith is anything but easy. Remembering what your God says to you, it's hard when your mind is flooded with sinful thoughts, doubts, the pressures of life, guilt. Martha and Mary were mourning the loss of their brother. And we too mourn, and we are good. We are good at blocking out God's consoling word in the face of sickness and death. The sinful flesh that indwells all of us loves death. The corrupted flesh wants nothing to do with the life God gives, with his goodness and his mercy. The corrupted sinful flesh, the old Adam, wants to drag you down into the pit of despair. And that deep sense of loss and regret we feel when a loved one dies can linger. People mourn death a long time. Martha and Mary mourned. And they didn't believe that Jesus could raise the dead, not at first. Both of them tell Jesus, they say, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. A statement implying that now that death has come, it's useless. There's nothing not even Jesus can do. Sure, Martha believed in the resurrection, but to her, that was a future event, down the road, outside the jurisdiction of Jesus. She didn't see that standing before her in flesh and blood was the Christ, was the Son of God, the life of all the living. The very resurrection that we look forward to was standing before her. Martha, Mary, they failed to see at first that in Christ there is life. There is life even for a dead man lying in a tomb, emitting an odor for 4 days. That is no problem for your God. That is no problem for the author and giver of life, the one who has created and sustains even your very fleshy bodies. By allowing Lazarus to die, we can now see why Jesus does it. To show the world that he is the Son of God, divine and human, the author and giver of life, yes, even to those in the grave. Even at the tomb, Martha tries to dissuade Jesus. Don't open the tomb door. My brother's been dead 4 days. His body is decaying, rotting. There's even going to be a smell. But during the crying and the ruckus in the morning, even though Martha was blocking out the consoling word of her Lord, Jesus says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And then by a word, a spoken word, Lazarus walks out of the tomb, bandages and all, By a word Christ speaks and there is life. Death, you see, binds all of us. Sheol entangles us and wants to drag us down into the pit, but Christ speaks unto you words of life. He says, unbind him. Let him go. Now, in one sense, yes, that means take off the bandages. Lazarus is well. But friends, that phrase, unbind him and let him go, that is God's triumphant word over sin, death, even Satan. To death, Jesus says unto you, unbind him and let him go. To sin, Jesus says unto you, unbind him, let him go. Temptations that are so powerful, and they devastate our lives, to them even Jesus says, unbind him, let him go. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. That's for you. That clear proclamation of the gospel, that good news, Christian, that is for you. That is God's promise. That is your comfort. That is your consolation. So whenever you face death and you face pain, remember, the word of God still triumphs as your Savior, into whom you have been baptized, speaks his word to you, calling you to remember the tomb is not the end of our lives. Death and decay, it's not the end of the story. Christ is the very everlasting life you seek, the resurrection of the body that is yours by faith. Faith in Christ saves. Faith in Christ saves. Even when sickness comes, even when sickness leads to death, faith in Christ saves. Death is no problem for your God. He is the giver of life, even at death. He gives you life now by making you a justified sinner, saved by his grace, and friends, he gives you life everlasting when there is no sickness. There will be no more disease, no more death. This our Lord promises, and it has been secured for you by his cross and his blood. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.